Good evening, everybody, and welcome to our Wednesday night live streaming of our Wednesday service. You know, I've been thinking, and as my father used to say when I said it to him, "Hey, Dad, I've been thinking," he goes, "Did it hurt?" My dad was a character. But no, it didn't hurt. I've been thinking that for quite a while, we have been having to go through this COVID situation. And we need to say we depend on the Lord. And we put a lot of emphasis on the Father, a lot of emphasis on Jesus, which we really should do, okay? But we also need to realize that the Holy Spirit is part of God too. And that we should really rely on the Holy Spirit to gather our strength and our guidance in our daily walk. And so I want to do, instead of jumping into a book, I want to do a series. Now, I just finished a couple studies on why gifts don't flow. And it was during that time the Lord just really kind of pressed in on me about doing a series on the Holy Spirit. So this will be study one. I don't know how long they'll be, at least nine or so, where we can take an in-depth look, nice and slow, nice and easy, at the Holy Spirit. So, with that in mind, welcome to class one of the Holy Spirit. I think the first thing that we need to recognize is, who do we serve as our God? We recognize that there is one God. I'm going to be telling you a lot of verses, and many of them I am not going to go to and read. And I want you to write them down, and then I want you to study them yourselves. Underline them, put notes in your Bible, so that you can help other people seeing that there is one God, Holy Spirit is God, etc. So I will slowly repeat these verses for you. So if you don't have a paper and pencil, you better run and get one real quick, because we're going to pray right now that this one God will illuminate to us through His Holy Spirit about the Holy Spirit. So let's go ahead and open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the opportunity of gathering together. I look so forward to teaching on the Holy Spirit and how through the Holy Spirit we get our power, we get our guidance and direction, and You're with us and You're there to comfort us, and we're so blessed by that. And so, Holy Spirit, I pray that You would anoint this message, anoint the hearts to hear it, and anoint their penmanship so as they take notes, they can read them later. And we'll be able just to enjoy this time together as we go through the study on the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, how do we know there's one God? Well, first of all, it's the Bible. How do we know that the Bible is real? You've been with me long enough. You know that God's signature is prophecy. This coming Sunday, I'm going to go into great details on some of the prophecies that the Messiah fulfilled, and quite a few of them to let you know. So you'll want to have your paper and pencil ready for that one as well. But we recognize that there is only one God according to the scriptures. In Isaiah chapter 44, verse 6, it says that there is one God and one God only. Isaiah 44, 8, 45, 5, and 6, and also in Isaiah 45, 21, and 22. I'll repeat those again. These are verses that proclaiming that there is only one God, not multitudes of God, but only one God. Isaiah 44, 6, Isaiah 44, 8, Isaiah 45, verses 5 and 6, and also in Isaiah 45, verses 21 and 22. We recognize as Christians, and we hold to what is referred to doctrinally as the Trinity, the three in one. God Himself makes mention that it's more than just the Father, for it says, "Let us," in Genesis, "make man after our own image and after our own likeness." Now, we know what that "us" is by the words of Jesus there in Matthew 28, where He proclaims to the disciples, and you're a disciple, this is your commission to go out and make disciples of people. In other words, share the Lord with them, bring them to the saving knowledge of Christ, and then baptize them in the name, notice singular name, singular, of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It doesn't say, and in the names, plural, it's singular. So Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is the name of our God, the one God. Now, if we take a look at the scriptures, we see certain attributes, we see certain things about this one God. And it's our responsibility to tie scripture together with scripture. So, according to the Concise Dictionary of Christian Theology by Millard Erickson, it refers to the word deity along with the Holy Spirit. The word deity simply means a reference to God. So when you hear about the deity of Jesus, it's saying a reference to Jesus, the God, or the Father, the deity of the Father, would be a reference to the Father being God. Now, when we talk about the Trinity, we recognize that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is that one God. Too many people make a mistake, and when they think God, they think Father only. But no, you need to think of Father, Son, Holy Spirit is that one God. The Holy Spirit does have deity referencing in the Bible. So if we can see scriptures that refer to the Holy Spirit as God, then we can accept the doctrine that the Holy Spirit being God, even though we may not quite understand it. So, are there scriptures that say that? And there are. The scripture does not refer to God, to the Holy Spirit. Excuse me. The scripture does refer to God and the Holy Spirit having the same attributes. But it also refers to the Holy Spirit being God. Remember in Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, that's where Ananias and his wife Sapphira had a piece of property, and they said, let's sell this property, and we'll tell them that we sold it for this much, and we'll go ahead and keep a bunch back for us. And so they sold it, they came and they gave it. Well, Ananias gave it, Sapphira wasn't there. And you know what took place? Peter went to him and said, you know, why did you lie to the Holy Spirit? Because when that property was yours, you could do with whatever you wanted with it. And if you sold it, the money was yours. You could do whatever you wanted with it. You weren't under a mandate. You didn't have to sell it. You didn't have to bring the money in. But you sold it, and you sold it at a different price than what you said you sold it. And you're lying. And it tells us there in verse 4 that Ananias, you have lied to the Holy Spirit. And in verse 5, it says, Ananias, you've not lied unto man, you've lied unto God. So in those two verses, you lied to the Holy Spirit, you lied to God. So it shows us that God and the Holy Spirit are truly one and the same. Now, the Holy Spirit definitely possesses divine or godly attributes. And again, these are going to be going through with verses, so write down the reference again. He has an eternal nature. Well, what is the word eternal nature? Again, in the Concise Dictionary, eternal means a transcendence of times without beginning or end. And so we recognize that our God has a transcendent of time. In other words, time has no effect on him. Time has effect on us. If you don't believe it, look in the mirror. You're changing all the time. I was born with white hair, but now it's gray hair. So I've been changing, and my body is falling apart in different fashions and different ways. So we recognize that he has an eternal nature, and the scripture tells us that in Hebrews 9, verse 14, Hebrews 9:14, that he has the nature of eternity. transcendent of all time. Another one of the divine natures that God has is omnipresent. They're omnipresent. What that means is that God is everywhere. He's not limited to one place. Now, it is true that when Jesus left the glory of heaven for a season and took on a human being, he gave up some of his ability. And what that was, for an example, was in a bodily form, he couldn't be in Jerusalem and Bethlehem at the exact same time because he had limited himself for a season. After that 33 years and he died and rose again, he took back that glory of God as well. So omnipresent means everywhere, and the Holy Spirit is referred to in Psalms 139, 7 through 10. Psalms 139, 7 through 10, where the psalmist is talking about the Holy Spirit and it says, "Where can I go that you're not there?" So he, the Holy Spirit, is omnipresent. Now, omnipotent, that is where we get our power from. Omnipotent. Now, in Luke chapter 1, verse 35, when the angel came to speak to Mary, Jesus' earthly mother, excuse me, he said, "You're going to receive the power. The Holy Spirit's going to fall upon you. And you're going to receive the power, which is that dunamis power, that dynamic power, that the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. And you're going to have a child through that." So he has that power. And we need that power now more than any time ever in our lives before, to be strong and not to let fear rule our lives. He's there to strengthen us through these difficult times. And we can have joy in these difficult times because we know that everything that's going on in our lives during this time is God filtered, and we're going to be able to give God the glory when we go through and get through all of this. Now, the next attribute is omniscience. We know that that means he knows all things. Well, in 1 Corinthians 2, verses 9, 10, and 11, it declares that the Spirit knows all things. So he's omnipresent as well. Now, so not just divine attributes does God have, but he also has divine work that are ascribed to God, but also to the Holy Spirit. We recognize that in creation, in chapter 1, verse 2, and it says, "And the Spirit of God moved upon the earth." So we see that the Holy Spirit had a role in creating this earth. Number two, there would be regeneration of our lives. Remember when Nicodemus came to Jesus and said, "We know that the Father sent you, because no one could do these things without you, without God being with him." And Jesus said, "You must be born again." You know, born again. Wait a second, Nicodemus said, "How can I be born again? Can I go back up into my mother's womb? Or can a man go back up into this mother's womb and be born again?" He goes, "No, that which is spirit, that which is flesh." And I say, you must be born again of the Spirit. And so we see that it's so important that we recognize that the Holy Spirit rejuvenates us. And although it's not a complete rejuvenation, if you wouldn't, what I mean by that is we are going to be completely sanctified, completely changed. Right now we're being changed from glory to glory, rejuvenated from glory to glory. We're out of the flesh and we're in the Spirit, growing in the Spirit. And one day when we pass through that veil, whether it's through the rapture or through our time here on earth, is finished, and we're going to be graduate and go into heaven, we never have to worry about changing anymore and being more like Jesus, because we'll be in our spiritual bodies and we'll be in his presence throughout all of eternity. But until that time, we see that the Holy Spirit is rejuvenating us, sanctifying us, moving us from glory to glory. And I'm so glad that he didn't just create man, and then you accept Jesus, and you're stuck here on earth to try to figure it out yourself. God has put himself in us, and he's there to rejuvenate us, and he's there to walk with us through this time now, not just now, but forevermore. The Holy Spirit also had a role in the resurrection. You could look at that in Romans chapter 8, verse 11. I'll repeat that. Romans chapter 8, verse 11, where it says, "And the Spirit raised up Jesus." So we recognize that the Spirit had a role in that as well. Now, this next topic, I really, really enjoy, and I want to take a little bit more time and actually go to the scriptures. There's passages which are in the Old Testament that refer to God, referring to him as Lord. There's no doubt who is talking about. But there are also passages in the New Testament that refer to the Holy Spirit, referencing those passages in the Old Testament. If those passages in the Old Testament are referring to the Lord God Almighty, and in the New Testament they're referring to the Holy Spirit, then we know the Holy Spirit is God as well. So the very first one I want to look at is found in the Old Testament in the book of Isaiah. There in chapter 6, we're going to be looking at verses 8 through 10. Verses 8 through 10 in Isaiah 6. And so 8 says this: "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying," so who's that speaking? That's the Lord God Almighty. And this is what he's saying: "Who shall I send, and who shall go for us?" See, that U.S. is capital U. That means it's God referring to God. Whenever you run across the scriptures and you see him capital, you see H, you know, you see in this text U capital, that's referring to God. So, "Who shall I send, and who shall go for us?" Then I said, "Here I am, send me." And he said, "Go and tell this people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull and their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and with their ears and understand with their hearts and return and be healed." Now, we see that the Lord is speaking here. I want you to go to Acts chapter 28. Acts chapter 28. And we're going to look at verses 25 through 27. Acts chapter 28, verses 25 through 27. And notice what it says here in Acts chapter 28. Are you there? I want you to be there. Okay, I think you're there. In Acts chapter 28, verse 25, it says this: "So, when they did not agree amongst themselves, they departed after Paul and said one word, 'The Holy Spirit rightfully, through Isaiah the prophet, to our fathers, said this.'" Now, what did this just say? It said that the Holy Spirit spoke rightly through the prophet Isaiah. So when Isaiah talks about the Lord, he's talking about the Holy Spirit speaking through him here. And what did he say? "Go to this people and say, hearing you hear, and shall not understand. Seeing you see, and shall not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, and the ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their ears, and hear with their ears, lest they should understand, and their hearts be turned, so that I could heal them." My point is here, not what it's saying in these verses, but what is being proclaimed in these verses is being ascribed to the Holy Spirit. The New Testament is saying that the Holy Spirit spoke through the prophet Isaiah. Here, what we saw in the book of Isaiah, that Isaiah was referring that the Lord said this. The Lord God Almighty said this. And here in the New Testament, it's saying the Holy Spirit spoke these words through Isaiah. What does that tell us? That the Holy Spirit is God. Now, the next one I want you to look at is found back in the book of Psalms. Back in the book of Psalms. And if you go there, I want you to go to Psalms 95. Psalms 95. Psalms 95, okay? And we're going to be looking at verses 7 through 11. Psalms 95, verses 7 through 11. And it says here, starting in verse 7, "For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the sheep of his hands. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts in the rebellion, in the day of trial, in the wilderness, when your fathers tested me and tried me, though they saw my work. For 40 years I was grieved with that generation and said, it is a people who go astray in their hearts, and they do not know my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter in to my rest." Now, that was the Lord speaking. That was about the children of Israel rebelling against God, not being obedient to go into the promised land. And as that promise he gave them, they would go into the wilderness, and that generation would not see the promise. Only Joshua and Caleb were able to go in because they were the spies that believed, we can do this, we can do this. So he said, they're not going to be able to go in. And the Lord's saying this to them. So now we want to go to Hebrews chapter 3, and we want to look at verses 7 through 9. Hebrews chapter 3. Now notice in verse 7 it says this, "Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says." So who's speaking now? The Holy Spirit. "Today, if you will hear my voice, do not harden your hearts as in rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness." That goes back to Isaiah we just read, "where your fathers tested me and tried me and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they also go astray in their heart and they shall not know my ways. So I swore in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest." So we see that the psalmist is proclaiming that God proclaimed this. Very clearly that God proclaimed this. And the Lord God proclaimed it. And here in Hebrews, we see that it says that the Holy Spirit said these same exact words. So what is the Bible telling us? The Bible's telling us that the Holy Spirit is God as well. Now, those are the verses, but there is one more verse that I want you to see very closely. So just go over to 1 Thessalonians, if you would. 1 Thessalonians. And when you get there, just hang out there in chapter 5 for just a moment. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. So we've seen that there is so far one God. And that Jesus said, go out and baptize in the name of my Father, Son, or go out and baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Singular, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Now, that means that as the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, it doesn't mean that he's third in ranking. They're all equal. And they make up the one God. The one God is the combination of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You can't pull one out and still have God. They're all there. Their essence is the three in one. Jesus made that very clear. Go out and baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So there's just one God. And you know what? A nice way of looking at that and seeing how God fulfilled his promise there in the book of Genesis, where he said, let us, plural, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is referencing, let us make man in our own image and in our own likeness. We're just one person, but what makes up this one person? There are three distinct elements that define us as a human being. And we're the only creatures on the world, the humanity, that have this unique design. And we see that Paul makes very clear reference of it here in the first book of Thessalonians in chapter 5. And we see it very clearly in verse 23, where Paul says this, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we see that we have three unique elements that make us one. You can't take one away and still have us being a human being. The animals, they're not like us. God has made us with a soul, a spirit that he has placed in us, and a body. The only thing that's going to change is that when we leave this earth, we are going to have a heavenly body if we're Christians. And if we're not Christians, too, we're going to have a spiritual body, if you would. Now, unfortunately, for those that are not Christians, they're going to take that spiritual body and they're going to suffer in hell until the great white throne judgment. And then they're going to be cast out into outer darkness where there's gnashing and gashing and torment throughout eternity. They're going to have a body that is spiritually, that won't be destroyed, but they will suffer because they rejected Messiah. Where we accept him, we're going to be in the presence of Jesus Christ. We're going to be what is referred to as the bride of Christ. We're going to be united with Christ right now. So we're very unique as human beings. Now, when you take a look at what makes us in the image and the likeness of God, it's not the body or our hair or our body and fingers and toes and all of that. We don't know what our spiritual body will look like. We do know that it'll be able to go from the spirit into the physical arena. The only way that we can go into the spiritual arena now is by worship and by prayer. We can enter into the throne because of Jesus, you know, and have request of that of the Lord, God Almighty. So we see that just as the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are one, Father times the Son times the Holy Spirit equals one, our being made in his likeness, we also see because of the scripture here, the scripture very clearly says how we are designed and made up. We're made up of a soul, we're made up of a spirit, and right now we have a human body, and one day we'll have a spiritual body. And we are one human being that may have those three elements that make us very unique in how we're made in his likeness and his image. Because of that, we know as Christians, as Paul the Apostle said to the Philippian church, I almost said the Corinthian church, the Philippian church, there in chapter 1, he says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so, we at this point, when man sinned, God came, you know, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and the Lord came and met him, and the Holy Spirit that was in mankind was able to connect really, really sweetly, and they had fellowship with the Father. But when sin came, it flipped, and now the flesh was on top, and there was not that connection. But when we are born again, the Spirit comes and rules, if we allow it to, and we have that connection to where we can say, just like Paul the Apostle, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And it's all because the Holy Spirit is God. And the Holy Spirit, as we'll see later on, has been placed inside of us, has sealed us for that day of redemption, a day that we're going to see our Maker and we're going to rejoice. So with that in mind, let us go ahead and pray and ask God to just solidify these verses to us. And I pray that you will go back with all of these verses that I shared with you, and that you will have them written down, and you'll look them up, and you will have cross references so you can show people that the Holy Spirit is God, and that that's where we get our power from, and that's where we get our joy from to walk on this earth, because of what God has blessed us with. He sealed us with His Spirit, and what a blessing that is.